Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody want to press a little further? Anybody want to press a little further? Somebody lift your voice into the Lord. Tell him, God, I want to press a little further. Press in your presence. Come on, we're about to get out of your way, but we want to press a little further. Amen. If I can just press in your presence, behold the beauty of your face. If I can just press in your presence, and never leave this place again. If I can just press in your presence, and leave all my cares behind me, I will be whole, I'll still believe, I will just lay at your feet, for I will be whole, I'll still believe, I will just praise at your feet, right here in your presence. Come on and tell the Lord you want to press a little deeper. Somebody tell the Lord, if I can just press,
if I can just press,
press in your presence,
press in your presence,
behold the beauty of your face.
Of your
if I can just press in your presence,
press in your presence,
and never leave this place again. If I can just press in your presence, and leave all my cares where they are, I will be whole, I'll still believe, I will just lay at your feet, for I will be whole, I'll still believe, I will just praise at your feet.
Abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power of God that worketh within you. This is Prophetess Teresa with Saturday with the Word, and I'm honored, delighted, and just excited about being here with you once again on a beautiful Saturday afternoon, being able to bring forth an awesome, anointed woman of God who God is bringing forth like never before. Prophetess Pam, I just give honor to God for you and your life and even the sacrifice of you going into God's people on this hour on a beautiful summer
day
in July, and so many other things that you could be doing. And truly, we just thank God for you. I just apologize for being just a little bit late, but I was en route trying to get here to the blog talk. But I just want to lift you up and lift the lines up with a word of prayer and just have you go forth as God direct you. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord God, we lift up these lines to you, Lord God. We lift up the Blog Talk Radio. We lift up those that are on the Skype, those that are on the chat lines, Father God, and even those, Lord God, that are on their phones line. Father, you have created so many different ways that your word can be brought forth. Father, you said that every end of the world would be able to hear your word. And Father, I thank you, Lord God, that your word is going forth internationally, Lord God. Father, I just lift up Prophetess Pam to you in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask you right now to use her like never before. I cover her with the blood of Jesus. And I thank you, Father God, that she's protected, Lord God, because of you, Father, and because of her sacrifice and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Father, I ask you to allow these lines to go forth, allow her to come forth with clarity, Lord God. As she expounds on your word, I thank you, Lord God, that anything that come against her that's not like you, Father, that we build up a standard around her in the name of Jesus where Satan cannot penetrate because we have drawn a bloodline of protection around her. In the name of Jesus, I thank you as she go forth, Father, that you'll get all the glory and you will get all the honor. In the mighty master's name of Jesus, we touch and agree, and we say amen. Well,
amen.
God bless you, prophetess.
Ooh, thank you for that prayer. That was an awesome prayer, and I thank God for you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We just want to say praise the Lord. He's awesome. Oh, God, I just want to say a quick prayer right now. And Heavenly Father, I come in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, through the blood of the Jesus that sits on the right-hand side of you. And, Father, that the Holy Spirit that you sent to comfort me, to use me as a vessel. Heavenly Father, I come in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, to just let flesh die and let the Holy Spirit speak through me, through this vessel. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for using me, and I ask you in Jesus' name, anything that I've done was displeasing that I didn't even know I'd done, I ask you to forgive me and let your word go forth across the line and let the people that's on this line to receive this awesome, powerful word from the Holy Spirit that dwells in me that's going to speak through me. That the love that you loved us so much that you sent your only begotten Son to die. Father, I even pray for us so we can live. And I even pray in the name of Jesus that every ear on this line would hear what the Spirit is saying. And thank you for blessing this word. This is your word that you're going forth in this hour through me as a vessel. And in Jesus' name I pray and I say thank you. And the subject today is love surpassing all spiritual gifts. And when I was doing my research, it blessed me so well to realize how deep love is. So I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 13 and 1 through 13. And I pray that everyone on this line, they have a pencil and paper and their Bible is open so you can research this because this is a powerful word from the Holy Spirit today. And as I read the scripture, Holy Spirit showed me to break down this love, the God love versus the world love. So I need y'all to stay with me and I need y'all to write. So at the end of this broadcast and how the Spirit going to use that y'all be able to research what the Word is saying concerning love. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 through 13. Do I speak with the tongues of man and the angels, but I have not loved? Oof. I have become sound brasses of a cleansed, and do I have the gift of prophecy? And I understand all my ministries and all the knowledge, and I thought I had all the faith so that I could remove the mountain, but have not loved. I am nothing, and I thought I bestowed all my goods to feed the poor, and I thought I gave my body to be burnt, but have not love. It profited me nothing. Nothing. Love suffers long, and it is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It does not puff up. It does not behave rude. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked, thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. It bears all things, believing all things, and hoping things, and enduring all things. Prophesy, they will fall whether they are tongue. They will seek whether there is knowledge. It will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when they watch it, perfection has come. Then that which is in part, we be done always. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see a mirror, but then the face to face. Now we know in part, but then I shall know just as I am also, and I am. And bind faithful hope and love. These three must the greatest of these love. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now I'm getting ready to talk. The Holy Spirit is getting ready to talk about God love versus the world love. This passage gives one of the most complete describe of love in the Bible. More importantly, it shows that love needs to be the one thing in life. It seeks more than anything else. Without it, whatever we do or say really has no lasting value. Comparing the love described here with the superficial love found in this world. Number one, God says, love be directed towards others. Talked about that in verse 1 to 3. But the world say, love should be directed towards ourselves. I'm just going to read this, and then I'm going to respond to everything. Just let me go through this, because I know I have an hour. So remember what it says. God says love shall be directed towards others. The world says love should be directed towards ourselves. Number two, God says love is patient and kind. Talked about that in verse 4. The world says love satisfies you your immediate needs. God says love is never jealous or envious. The world say love means that you deserve the best. You deserve the best. That's what the world say. God says love is never boastful or proud. The world say love isn't necessary to make people respect you. God says love is never rude. The world say love lets you act as you please. God said love does not demand its own way. The world say love get in the way of what is in it for me. God says love does not irritable or touchy, and it holds no grudge. The world say love takes a back seat when it comes to seeking revenge. God says rejoice and just and in truth. The world say love understands even ignorant evil. But God say love is loyalty. The world say love should be self-serving. Oh, my God. Now, I'm going to talk about the love of God. When God said love should be directed towards others. Yes, as he died for us, that we should love others. We should love our brethren. If we have the love of God in us, we will show others love in every given situation, every day need. But the world say love should be directed towards ourselves. That's selfish. That means they're not even loving themselves. That means that they don't even believe in Jesus Christ. That means they don't even believe that God died for us to live, that they want to live their own kind of way. They want to define love in evil, define love in selfish and selfish and unpleased to God. But God says, number two, love is patient and is kind. But then when the world defines love as satisfaction of meeting the need, that means that somebody want to use you. They'll tell you they love you to get what they want in that need, in that moment of that need. But God says it's patient, it's love, and it's enduring. That means that we have to love, and only way we can get this kind of love is through Christ. But the world feels like it's on its own. See, there's two different kinds of love that God is talking about. The love of God and the love of this world is evil. And in each circle that God, the Holy Spirit, is using right here, is evil. God said love is never jealousy. The world say love means that it deserves the best. Oh, my God, what jealousy. Jealousy is next to a grave. This person can have a beautiful home, a loving husband. I mean, I'm talking about everything that you wish you had. But you say you walk in the presence of the Lord and you begin to be jealous over this person because of what they have. And you begin to plan an act of evil, because jealousy is evil. That all that you ever know that you can get through Christ and what he died for, but you being distracted because of what this person wants. And you become jealousy and envious of his things. So you begin to do an act of evil and selfish towards this person. You begin to lie on this person. You begin to try to seek what this person has. It could be her husband or his wife. That's evil. That's jealousy. That's envy. But God says, no. Love is not that. Love is peace. Encouragement, just encourage somebody else that is in need of love to be proud for what God has blessed them with. That's what love, God determined love. Love is never about proud, you boastful, you proud. The world said it's necessary, so not to respect. Love is respect. But to a person that don't have no love for themselves, how could they respect you? They can't. They hate you. They selfish. They have no kind words in their bones. They deceive you. They want when they want. No respect. No responsibility to love him they self. No respect your home. Don't respect your marriage. Don't respect the God in you. And God said love never rules. But the world say love let you act as you please. But that's not true. You can't act what you please. How could you act in love when you don't have love in you? Because you can only operate it. Love is a spirit. It's a gift. We have to go through a process for this gift. We have to love as Jesus Christ loved. God for love this world that he sent his only begotten son for us to live. That he was willing to make any sacrifice for us, just as we have to make sacrifice for people, for others. Because the word of God tells us, if a person knocks on your door and they in need of your help, it could be food, it could be money, it could be clothes, it could be just to vent, just to be encouraged, we're supposed to let them in. That's what of the love of Christ would have done. I have experienced so much in my life concerning making sacrifice. Because love is a sacrifice. Because when it's two people joined together as marriage, and the Lord tells the husbands to love your wife as Jesus Christ loved the church, he said, love your wife as you love yourself. So you respecting your wife, you willing to make sacrifices for your marriage, for your wife. I'm talking about the husbands making sacrifice for the wife, but we're talking about the love of Christ. To love, when you get into disagreements, you know how to handle them through love. To respect your wife, to give up something. You might want to go watch a baseball game, but your wife wants you to go to this dinner party. And then you made that sacrifice to go with your wife to show your wife how much you love her. to defend her in every way, to lay your life down for her, no matter whatever the circumstance, because this is what, because you're walking in the way Jesus told you to love your wife and wife, to respect your husband. And always respect, to come together, even when we disagree, because when we disagree and we love one another, we're going to talk about it in love. Because love, that's what love do, is kind. Excuse me. Love is kind. So even we disagree to degree, but we end up on one accord because of the love of Christ. Because this is what Jesus told us to do concerning our marriage. With our children, children to respect your parents, to obey your parents. Parents, do not provoke the children. Don't give your children a choice to go out or excuse to do what they do. You have to love them. You have to be honest with them. You have to raise them in a way to go. You have to get them ready for this world, that they're going to have to go out and see for themselves, but they have to be prepared, because we love them that much, we was ready to make that sacrifice for them. And the children be ready to be obedient, as we obedient to God, our Heavenly Father. Love don't hurt. Love is kind. It's long-suffering. It's patient. It's joy. And Jesus willing to take up all that for us so we would know how to love. He had to go through a process. In them 30 years on this earth and then 3 years of ministry, he had to get prepared to take this walk in love. And I want to talk about Peter. I write this down. It's John chapter 21, 15 and 17. The Holy Spirit just going to touch on, but when at the end of, when this broadcast is over, you can research this yourself, because it's important to know. Three times Jesus asked Peter, did he love him? Three times. Peter got so grieved with it, he said, Lord, you already know I love you. But he didn't know what Jesus knew. Jesus knew that he was going to deny him three times. And each time that Jesus asked Peter, did you love me? He said, well, tend to my sheep. Tend to my sheep. So what do that mean in other words, Jesus said, if you love me, you're going to tend to my sheep. You're going to minister to them. You're going to love on them. You're going to provide a need through me. Then he said, he asked Peter again, do you love me? He said, feed my sheep. So then he telling Peter again, if you love me, this is what you're going to do for me. And even at the third time, Peter was so, Peter didn't even know where Jesus was coming from at this moment, but he said, do you love me? And Peter, that's when Peter told him, Lord, you already know I love you. But see, Peter's life was planned out already. Jesus prayed to pray for Peter because Satan wanted to sweep him as wheat. You know how we have to. Back in our grandmama days when they had them old sifts in there, we had to sift our flour, and that's how Satan wanted to get Peter. And God had already told Peter, Jesus had told Peter that what Satan wanted, but Jesus had already prayed for Peter forgiveness. So when Peter realized, and then, okay, I'm sorry, I'm moving too fast. Okay, Holy Spirit, slow me down. When Peter told God, yes, I love you, you know that I do, then Jesus said, well, follow me. He said, be a fisherman. He grabbed him as a disciple. But then Jesus had to really nurture Peter, because Peter was going through a whole lot that he didn't understand. Even when Peter, when Matthew, he was caught up in the world system, knocking on people's doors, taking their money, you know, taxes, and you know, they fooled away from him, which was their sheep or their goat, how they had to feed the people. And in the midst of that, a diversity took place with the Romans, and then Jesus stepped in, and he looked at Matthew, and he said, come on, follow me. It talks about that, and Peter didn't understand that. So Peter, through all that adversity, Peter said, how could you forgive him? See, love is forgiving. And Jesus said, you're supposed to forgive seven times. Even seven more. So anytime a person can repent to you all day long, you're supposed to forgive them as Jesus forgive. Because the only way that Jesus will forgive you if you forgive others. Because love is forgiving. love, I mean, I'm talking about to forgive a person. And this is how he had to tell Peter. Even though Peter didn't even know that he was going to deny Jesus three times. And remember, Jesus asked him three times, did you love me? But Jesus told Peter what he was going to do, but Peter just didn't understand that. But in the midst of it, Peter did. Peter denied him three times. When Peter immediately found that he denied God, he fell on his knees, and God, Jesus has already prayed for him. See, that's just how much love that Jesus had for us. He loved Peter so much. He told Peter everything. He didn't leave Peter in the blind. And Peter loved, in my heart, I know that Peter did, but Peter was human. He didn't know that he was going to go through this. It got heavy for him when Jesus was walking in the Romans, when Peter wanted to fight. Peter was a fighter. He wanted to fight. He wanted to protect Jesus in all his way. He loved him. He wanted to protect him. In that way, he had no idea that he was going to deny Jesus. He had no idea that and God so loved his enemy to the point he told Peter no. And he healed the Romans. And that Romans was like, oh, my God, we about to kill this man. But this is the love that he showed. And that's how much love God wants us to show his people. We have to walk in love. God loved us so much. What did the word of the Lord say? It says, love thy enemy. If they hungry, feed them. If they thirsty, give them water. Now, everything that I am saying right here concerning love, I had to experience something that it blew me away. And I had a mentor. I'm not going to mention no name, but I'm going to give a little testimony about how God taught me how to love. And it was an everyday process for me. I had to walk in love. Even in the world, I was a love person. I gave my last. I did this. But I was expecting something back. I didn't know nothing about the love of Jesus at that point when I was loved already. But I felt like if I did something for you and if I needed you, you supposed to give it back to me. And I didn't understand when I gave and kept giving and people just didn't want to bless me or didn't want to give it back to me or I don't have it. I didn't understand and I would get in my way and I would say, I ain't going to do nothing for you no more. But the love of God came upon me and taught me. It ain't about the people. It's about the love of God. God wasn't expecting nothing back from nobody but to love him and to believe in him. And I had to learn that. I don't look for the people of this world to give me anything, nothing. I do what is pleasing to God, and I had to be taught that. That was a process of many times that I was caught up in emotion, and I felt like I did it for you. You supposed to do it for me, but that's not so. Because God said whatever you do for him, he will give it back to you, and he will. And I had to go through that love of process. I had to go through that love to understand that nobody owed me nothing. I had to walk in the way that Jesus walked in love. I had to bless people when they needed some food or they needed a cocktail. I had to make a sacrifice. I have made sacrifices for people when I wanted to do something. Just like Prophet Teresa said, this is a sacrifice, and it is. I never looked at it that way, but it is, and I had to make a sacrifice for somebody else before. And it was that with me to see that they was trying to do something with their life. I had something to do at that point, but I knew that mine could hold on, so I didn't step with the love that I had in Christ. I went on and did what I needed to do for that person because they needed that bad, and I made a sacrifice. And at this point, I didn't look for no thank you. I didn't look for anything. I did what was pleasing to God. This love, this unconditional love, the way Jesus loved, you know, to love our enemy. He even said it. He said he want us to love, even to love our enemy. And I had experienced that. I'm going to talk about that for a few minutes, to loving my enemy. And I had a mentor. I'm not going to mention no name, but I loved her to no end. It's like nothing I wouldn't do for her. And she was a woman of God. She operated in God, you know. I loved her. She helped me in some things. She helped me see myself because sometimes that you can be, you can have a good heart, you can be that good person, but still there's something in you that you got to die daily of or the flesh, something you got to find out. You got to be exposed into what's lies in you that you don't even know is in you. So she helped me with that. And all of a sudden, a spirit of jealousy and hatred came over me. But I would still love on her, but I would talk to God. So eventually, God ended up leaving me from her. So when he opened up my prayer ministry, I began to just work, operate in the love of God. And then one, I wasn't working, and one day I was just in the presence of the Lord talking to him. And he told me, he said, "You're going to be offered a job. Take it." And I said, "Okay. Okay, God, you know, I was dealing with financially, but God was blessing me. It's still that I wasn't wanting for anything because I was doing what God wanted me to do." So I went to Jewel's one day, and I saw my mentor, and she was sick. She was, you know, had to breathe through the arches of that breathing machine. And I said, "Praise the Lord, how you doing?" And I haven't saw her in a while. And she said, "Oh, God bless you." And then I saw that she was dealing with some illness. And I said, "If you ever need me, call me." And she said she will. And a week later, I got a phone call. I wasn't expecting it that quick. Now, she had became my enemy. And she called me. And she said, "It was some work done in my house, and you know I'm sick and everything, and all this dust is on the table, and I need you to come over and clean it up for me." I said, "Oh, Lord Jesus." And I began to pray. I said, "Okay, God, you lead me." And then the Holy Spirit told me, "Well, she's not going to need you for that. You don't have to go." And it was confirmation. She called me back and said her daughter had cleaned it up. She said, "But I still need you to come over." So I said, "Okay," we set a date, and I went over there. So she said to me, she kissed me, hugged me, and we sat down and we talked. She said, "I need you to be my health care." And I just thought, I got so excited. I was praising the Lord. I said, "The Lord said that I was going to be off a job, take it." I was excited. I'm thinking she's back loving me again. You know, I'm just so excited in the love of Christ. I'm just, "Oh, God, I can help her." And she calling on me. I didn't think about nothing she did. I didn't think about nothing. All I wanted to do is just help her, be there for her. Then she said, "Well, I'm going to do your paperwork." She said, "I'm going to make sure you get all your paperwork done, and I can only pay you so much." I said, "This ain't about the money. God ordained this." I was excited to even be back in her life again. Oh, my God. So then I went to work. I got there. I cleaned up. I did things. I felt something wasn't right. Then I began to pray. I said, "Okay, God." I called Evangelist Dana. I called my friend Christine. I called another woman of God. I said, "God is sending me back in the enemy camp." I said, "What am I supposed to do?" I really didn't want to go. I didn't, because I already know what she did to me and how she felt, and it hurted me to the bone. And then I'm still strong in God. I haven't seen her for a while. I'm in my ministry with the Lord. He guided me. He equipped me for love and learn how to love through circumstances. And I just didn't understand why God was sending me back there. And they say, "You know, if God's sending you, got to go." So every day I began to pray. Every day I would go to work. She would have clothes everywhere. She would just do things to me, like, and I would notice it. And I said, "God, what she's doing? I ain't supposed to do this. I have never been a health care for nobody." So my mother used to do it. I called her, and I called some more friends. And I was like, "Do you supposed to do this? Are you supposed to?" And they were telling me no. So I even called the agency. And once I called the agency, they had no paperwork on me, none whatsoever. And I was like, "Oh, my God." I said, "God, what is this?" And she would lie to me. She was telling me that she was paying me and my paperwork. They did not even hear of me. So I said, "Okay, God," I began to do some research. And the agency woman, she said, "Don't let them use you." She said, "But we ain't no paperwork came in on you." So then I began to research, and I began to look for paperwork. And I said, "God, I need you to give me evidence. I can't come to her without evidence." So before God gave me that evidence, it was like she would just do things. The refrigerator was so messy that it was all had been there for a long time. I had to clean it up in the kitchen. I mean, everything, when I went in there, it was like I saw her did it on purpose. And then one day she had diabetes, and she had I don't know what they call it, but it was the needle, and that the medicine be already in it. And she looked at me, she said, if you ever come in here and if I'm ever out of my mind, she said, "Would you give me this?" And I told the Holy Spirit, "I can't do that." I said, "I don't know about no medicine." Then the Holy Spirit began to show me things. So a card came from nowhere, and I got the card to the agency. It's like it just opened up the heaven, and it flew in my face, but she didn't know I had it. So then she had to go to the dentist to get her tooth pulled. Then a phone call came from the supervisor, and I answered the phone. And I, excuse me, and I began to talk with him, and he began telling me he didn't have no paperwork on me. I began to tell him what went on and everything. So I didn't say nothing to her. After I got off of work, I went home, and I started praying. I said, Lord Jesus, I say, God, give me the wisdom and the knowledge to go to her in love. And God did. And before all I said anything to her, I had fixed the dinner. And we sat at the table together and we ate. We broke bread together and we ate. And she came to me. She said, God been dealing with me about you. God been, I had to repent. And Pam, I'm sorry for whatever I did to you. What did I do? And God had me to tell her in love. And I told her. And then she repented. And then she, after she repented, she went right back trying to hurt me again, trying to make me kill her, trying to get me in trouble. I just started praying and asking God to get me a way out of this. I went to her and I sat down and I told her everything concerning. I gave her the evidence. And then she told to me, she said, well, she started crying and just started saying things, you know, just didn't make sense to me. And I said, I loved you. I would have done anything for you. Then all of a sudden, I left and got off of work and I went home. She called me the next morning and told me to come in. And I said, I prayed before I went. I prayed across my bed. I said, Lord, I said, please send my angels before me. So when I got there, she was not in the house, but she left the door open. She was really trying to set me up. She left the door open. So she had the word open. And I read it, and the Holy Spirit said, that's not for you, that's for her. But I left out and went back around my friend's house till she called me and told me she was at home. Then when I went home, when I went back to work, she set me at her table, and she began to just go there with the word of God with me. I was patient. I listened. She began to say things to me and heard it. And then she say, this is your last day here. She saying, if you want to get paid, you're going to stay. I said, sweetie, I don't want to get paid. I said, all I need you to do is get my paperwork together, and then I'm gone. I go home. I'm not working here anymore for you. And then she said, well, I can't get your paperwork together. I said, Holy Spirit. I said, make her do everything that she got to do for me. Before I left there, she had all my papers together. Now, you talking about enduring some love in the enemy camp. I had to love on this woman. This woman was trying to hurt me. She was trying to set me up. But the love of Christ protected me. And because I love Jesus, I wanted to be obedient to him. I went there. And I praised God. And God blessed me with a check, so be it. I get the supervisor say, I'm going to even give you extra money. See, anything that you do for Christ, oh, my God, he will bless you. And I just thank God for loving even my enemy, how to love his people, to take care of his people, not to gossip, not to talk to them, but encourage them, to feed them, to give them the word of God, to love as Jesus Christ loved, to make a sacrifice for your friend, to lay down your life because he laid down his. And I know right now today we couldn't even imagine laying our life down for him. But when you watch the news, he say a friend jumped in front but of a week of an hour, not thinking about it, but just did it. That's love. A person would take a homeless person and feed them in their house. Because, see, I had to do that. I took a homeless person, and I fed him as he was a king. And I gave him the love of God, and God began to let me speak into his life. And then God turned around and let the homeless bless me. See, that's love. Love is Jesus' love. Love is something you have to endure. Love is trusting God to handle everything and to love your enemies. Revenge is his, said the Lord. He will repay. God just wants us to love and help one when one is in need. And we always make an excuse for that. What do we say? I don't have it. Come back tomorrow. But the word of God says, if you got it, give it to him what you have today. He will bless you. You know, when we do charity deeds and we begin to bless God's people, and God say, don't let your right hand know what your left hand, and then you, because he said if we do and we tell brag about what we done did for somebody, we get man reward. But God said if we come in secret and do what is pleasing to him and give with just between you and him, he said he will reward you. You are building up your treasures in heaven that you can he can release it on earth. Love is a many-splintered thing. You already detect what the world feel of love. It got hate. It's selfish. It's iniquity. It's homosexual. It's lesbian. It's adultery. It's fornication. It's evil. It's just point evil. See, what Satan meant for evil, God turned it around for the good to the point that he was so jealous he wanted to take all that God had. But see, Satan didn't know that he couldn't have it. So he took a multitude of angels with him, and he become jealous of what God, the power that God had. He wants to build his kingdom on the north. Ain't no way. God said, love one and hate the other. So you have to love God. You got to do what is pleasing to him. You got to earn this gift of God the way Jesus earned it when he laid his life down for us, when it took a process for him to go, how he had to endure with miracles and signs and wonders. Everything that he did it out of love. Everything that he did. And we have to endure this thing called love. It's long-suffering. Even with our husbands, because God said, love me as you love yourself. How could a person love when they're not even caring about themselves? They're doing the things that not of God. They're doing the things that is not pleasing. And I just and write this scripture down right here, and I just want to go through a few scriptures that the Holy Spirit gave me, and this is determining love in Christ and how to love because he loved. You don't make no excuse for love. You do sacrifice because he will bless you. And the word of in John 2, chapter 2, verse 15, do not love the world. And God says, do not love the world. The book of the Bible says, do not love the world of the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride in life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. See, the world, lust, pride, selfish, evil, vengeance, want to get revenge, want to use love when they want to use love for their needs. Jesus, it is not of the Father, but it is of the world, and the world is passed away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides in forever. That word abide is glued tight. You can't never let go. See, I can't never let go of the love. I made sacrifices for my children when I was going through. And I was in a relationship. I had 4 kids out of wedlock, and I was in a relationship that was abusive, very abusive, to the point that it's another story on another time. But I loved my kids. And God, I prayed, and I got out of this relationship. And I began to, I had to end up, when I left, when God gave me the strength to leave, he didn't know I was leaving. I gave my cousin, had a sister-in-law, and she let me live there with her. I didn't have no idea where I was going. My family members wouldn't help me. I kind of get emotional when I think about this, but I have to share this when we make sacrifices for the love of our children. And I have 4. Okay, Holy Spirit, let me keep it together. I have 4 kids. We didn't have nowhere to go. And people would tell me, you need to just drop them off on a step that they father. How you need to take. I said, no. Wherever I went, my kids went. I didn't want my children to feel, to know the pain that I endured when I was a child. That's another testimony, and it will be told. But I went through as a child. When I say I went through to the part of I was rejected already from the womb before I was even came into this world, it was already planned for Satan to try to do what he had to do for me. And I did not want my kids to feel that pain. So everywhere I went, they went. We got kicked out of places, out of family homes. I love my children and so much that I made a sacrifice. And my children was so obedient, and I thank God for giving them the strength, because when I asked them to do something, they did it. When we lived in people's houses and they had to get up and go to school, I end up leaving a bus fare, telling them what to do. And my oldest son, he would say, "Leave Mama alone, she rests." I would already told him what to do, and my God had really blessed my children to do what I asked them to do, and they did it. And they struggled. We struggled together. And one day my son said, "Mom, I'm so tired of living out of bags," when people, even own family members, told us that we couldn't stay with them. And we had to end back up with the abusive dad. I just want to thank God. And then when I end up back with him, God gave me a way out of that, and I took it. That's another story, and I will touch on it when the Holy Spirit allowed me to. But even with that, I end up leaving again, and I got my own place. But everywhere I went, I took my babies. And they didn't have to worry about living this world on hurt and pain. They all finished school. I get up off the bed in the middle of the night when my kids were asleep. I didn't have car fare, but I went to the neighbor's house at night while they were asleep so they can go to school. And that's how much I love my children. And I just feel when you love someone, love is a mighty long place. When you love somebody, it's nothing that you wouldn't do. You wouldn't cause them pain. Jesus didn't cause us pain. He didn't want us to hurt. Everything that we do, we are doing it in the name of Jesus. If it's us getting up in the middle of the night, whatever sacrifice we have to say, he would bless us. He would give us strength to do it. But we got to believe. We have to look at the way he loved. He is so awesome. Love started a long time ago. Love started when he sat in the mist and he created this world and he took light out of darkness. And he began to plan even Adam's way. It started with Adam when he raised Adam from the dust and he made woman out of him. Took a rib and made woman. His love started when we went into that hospital and we birthed them babies in. You know, love is a gift. Love just wasn't given to us, because if it was, a mother that had a child wouldn't have gave it up for adoption, wouldn't have stepped on the stairs. I've been through this love. I earned this gift. And today I'm still earning it, because I thank God where I'm at today, right here. I just didn't get here overnight. I had to endure long suffering. I had to do with pain. I had to love. I had to do what was pleasing to God, even when I didn't want to do it. I had to say, what would God do with this? How would Jesus handle this? And that's I love the Lord. I love him dearly. I love him so much. And y'all need to love him. He deserved to be loved. He loved us so much, he gave his only begotten son to die for us. We should be willing to make a sacrifice for him. We should be willing to do something that was pleasing in him, to get into this gift of love, to walk as he walked in love. He endured. I love you, Lord Jesus. I love you so much. And I just pray for everybody on this line to begin to search the love of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb. It's nothing he wouldn't do for you. Anything that you do for him, you lay your life down for him. You lose your life for him. He will bless you. He will feed you. He will clothe you. He will give you the discernment. You have to know discernment. He will tell you. You have to be in the midst of his word. His word is love. It started from the beginning. Research it. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And I just want to hold on one more thing, and then I'm going to give it to Prophet Teresa in the Word of God, and I'm going to go to the outwork of love. And I want to, 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our life for the brethren. But whosoever has this world good and see his brother in need and shut up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?" And that's the word. How? We're supposed to be able to help one another. We're supposed to be able, we are one body of members of Christ. Each one of us got different gifts, and we all supposed to come together to help one another, to love, or even in ministry. Even people, you go into the churches and you wonder why they empty some of them. Some of them is selfish and stubborn because they don't want to come together. They don't want to call Prophet Teresa and say, I need you. When God set her up to run something, to do something, and she needs that man of God, and then they see the anointing and the gift on her, and then they want to walk away. That's not God. Because see, she trusts God and she loves God. She's obedient to what God tell her to do because she knows it's not about her. It's about the Lord. It's about the love of Christ. There's no excuse. We have the word tell us right here, there's no excuse. No excuse that we should love like Christ if we belong to him. It's a gift. It's a process. And I pray that y'all begin y'all process and do what is pleasing to him. And then I'm just going to say, 1 John 4, chapter 7, it said, knowing God through love. Be loved. Let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knowing God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And this, the love of God, was manifest towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. And in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Ooh. Thank you, Keith. He sent his Son for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also are to love one another. Now, we are to. There's no excuse. If we walk in the love of Christ, there's no excuse. And I pray that God, the Holy Spirit, touched everybody's soul, that they're ready to research this love and walk in this love, to give up the things that God hates and that he loves. Because we should be able to hate what God hates and love what God hates in this love. And I thank you, and I wish I can go further. There's more research that I did, but the Holy Spirit led, and I'm going to give it back to Prophet Teresa. And I love you guys, and Jesus loves you. Thank you.
Well, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, yes, love, Jesus, love, the love of God, how God, love is a fruit.
Mm.
Love is, and you know, I want to say the fruit.
Mm.
It's the fruit of the Spirit. And so if we have love, it represents that we have God. And the Word of God talks about that love. Love is God. And love is from God. So we can't do it on our own.
No, we can't.
You know, we don't have this kind of love if we don't know God. And if we don't have his Spirit in us, we can't operate in this love.
We can't operate in it.
And if we don't abide in him, we can't show his love. So the love, that agape love, is the first thing that shows that God is in us. So I just want to thank you for the word of God just coming out of you, and even just ministering and talking about that pain that you suffered that burst out that love walk. You know, the Bible says that if we're not willing to suffer with God, that we can't reign with him.
Okay.
Jesus suffered.
Yes.
And that suffering that he did, it made us understand that we're going to suffer in this life.
Huh.
And what the enemy attacked most of all is our love walk.
Yes.
Because he understands that if he attack our love walk, that he attack our relationship with God. So it's important that we understand that we have to walk in love. We have to forgive. We can't do this God thing without it. And we have to take our minds back to what Jesus did on that cross. how he shedded his blood for our sins, not just our sins, but the sins of this world. So I want to thank you, woman of God, for just bringing that word forth, because love is just sacred. And as you were ministering, God brought the scripture to me, and I believe it's 1 John, where he says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from him. And whosoever love has been born of God and know God, and anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abide in love abide in God, and God abide in him. So as she was ministering, that scripture came to me. So it's essential that we love. And to love, we have to forgive. If we can't forgive, we can't love. So the darts are going to get thrown at us. But
yes,
we got to keep marching. We got to
keep
going. We got to keep winning. Because we win when we forgive. We win when we love.
Yes.
So I just want to encourage everyone. And I'm going to just do the call of salvation. I'm open the lines up. If there's anyone, and if you were encouraged by the word of God tonight, I want to encourage you to come forth when we open up these lines. But Father, we thank you for your people, and we just ask you, Lord, if there's anyone on this line that have not accepted Christ as their Savior, Father, that they would come into the remission and of sin and understand that the price have already been paid, that they would repent and believe that Jesus died and rose again, and that they would accept you as their Father and their Savior in Jesus' name. And if you want Jesus to be your Savior, I encourage you to go to our website, www.kingdombuildersplaza.org. Click on the comment tab and let us know that you have accepted Jesus. And if you don't have a Bible and you would like one, we will be more than honored to send you one and an MP3 version. And we'll be more than happy to pray with you, to connect with you, to encourage you. And I am about to open the lines up, and I just pray that if there's any one that would like to have comments at this time, the lines are now open.
This is Bobby.
Hello?
Amen.
Hello?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Praise
I just
God.
Want to say my name is Alta Lee. I'm a friend of Prophetess Pam, and I thank God for her because she's encouraging. She admits love, and, you know, the word is so powerful. Because you know something, I want that kind of love. I want that agape love that God gives. And only he can give it. Like you said, we die daily. You know, it's hard to stay on the side of the Lord. But like you said, you got to keep on pressing. Because he was bruised. He was just drugged through the streets. And he was hurt to us.
Yes. Yes.
And we have to remember that. And as his people, as the body of Christ, we should all stand together. We should
yes.
all lift our hands and thank him for all that he has done and all that he's going to do. And I feel like, Pam, he's working a miracle out of you. And I thank God for you. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Well, bless you, sister. Is
bless
there anyone
you
else? God bless you. And we just thank you for tuning in. Prophet Pam will be here with us for next Saturday, same time, same place. Call somebody up and let them know that
she's
ministering.
I really will. You know something, that's another thing. We got time to share a TV show, gossip, but you all are sharing the word of God. So that's a double kudos. Y'all are over the moon to me because you're doing God's will.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank
Praise
you.
Praise God. Prophet Pam, you want to lift her up with a word of prayer?
Huh?
Yes. Prophetess Teresa?
Yes.
Yes, I talk with them, and we pray and we stay together, but I wanted you to pray into their life.
Amen. And what is your name again, sister?
My name is Altavie.
And my name is Christine.
Yes.
Christine. And Altony. Well, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord God, we lift up both sisters to you, Lord God. And Father God, we thank you, Lord God, that you're doing a new thing in their life, Father, that you're bringing them closer to you like never before. Father, we just ask you right now, Lord God, that you would increase their love walk, Father. Father, and even in increasing their love walk, Father, if there's any wounds, Lord God, that have caused them, Father God, to not receive the blessings and the fullness that you have ordained for their life in the name of Jesus. We touch and agree right now, Father, that everything that's not like you that have caused hindrance in their life, Father, that it is dismissed, Lord God, because we thank you because you created them, you called them, Lord God, you have assigned them, Father God, to do a good work in you. And Father, I ask you right now that you would allow them, Father God, to hear you clearly, to know you more dearly, Lord God. And Father, that as they press their way, Lord God, that you would keep your angels encamped around them, Father. And I thank you, Lord God, that the desires of their heart, Father, is given to them, Father, because of their love walk, because of their forgiveness, because of their faithfulness, Lord God, to your kingdom in the name of Jesus. Father, I just give you glory and honor for their lives, Lord God, and anything that concerns them, Father. I thank you, Father God, that you fix everything, Lord God, that have hurt them, Father. And in the name of Jesus, I ask you, Father God, that you would let them know, Lord God, their assignment, Father, that you have given them from the creation of time in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that they will come forth in ministry, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Ah, Shatarama Makoshe, Ramaloku Satarapora. Father God, I thank you, Lord God, that you would increase, Lord God, their heavenly language, Father, that they would pray and intercede, Lord God, not only, Father God, to on others' behalf, Lord God, but they would stand in the gap, Lord God, for kingdom purposes, for kingdom sake, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, for awesome women of God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father, for God is doing a work in both of your lives.
Huh.
In both of your lives, it's not by accident that you are, it's somebody on the line that's having restless nights. And I just thank you, Father God, that you'll give them sweet sleep, Lord God. Father God, even, Father, throughout the night, Father God, that you will speak to them, that they would hear your voice, Lord God, and you will continue to direct them. For God is calling someone on the line to ministry.
Wow.
And the fear that have kept them from crossing over.
Wow.
That God is canceling that line of fear.
Oh, Jesus.
For it has caused you not to receive the full blessings that God has in store for you. You have heard his voice, and God is calling you over to ministry. Jesus. Ministry, you've been feeling you're not qualified and you're not capable. But the Lord wants you to know that no one is qualified. And no one is capable. It's only by his grace that we're able to do what he has called us to do.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, I just thank you, Father, that you would just continue to speak. And they would hear you, Lord God.
Yes.
And they would follow you, Lord God. And they would press their way, Father, and every obstacle that come against them, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that the spirit of discernment will be keen in their lives. And they will be able to discern, Lord God, when the enemy come, Lord God. And they will be able to discern, Lord God, how to deal with it in the name of Jesus. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that you're moving by your spirit. You're moving by your spirit. And I don't know who it is, but it's someone that there's a great call on your life. And their souls at the end of you accepting that call. God's going to bring others into his kingdom because of the call being accepted by you. No, you can't be worthy. You will never be worthy.
Huh.
It's by his blood that we can even talk to our daddy. I thank you, Father, that you continue to speak to them, Lord God, and they would embrace the call.
Yes,
in the name of Jesus, for your son Jesus' sake. In Jesus' holy name we pray and we say amen and glory to God. I just want to encourage you both and to just let you know that you have went through some things so that God can get the glory out of your life. And don't take anything that you went through personal, because it was never about you. It was always about the assignment, the call that's on your life.
Thank you.
So that you can testify and give your testimonies so others could be strengthened by what God allowed you to go through. So we just thank you for tuning in tonight. Prophetess Pam, is there anything else you'd like to say before we close out?
I just want to thank the Lord, and I pray that everybody receive the love of the Lord. As Peter did. And I just want to say that, do you love the Lord like Peter? You may be tempted and believe that you know love for Jesus when you sin, but maybe you feel that God never used you in this service again. But be honest with the opportunity to God, then he starts to rebuild, and you to rebuild that relationship with him as you reaffirm your love for him. And God will open opportunity for you to serve him and share that love with others and commit it hard to leave and to commit to serve. That's the woman God just said. Use you. There's nothing we could do or not do. But if we repent and refer my love and love as he loves, and you repent and turn away from that way, turn away from your sins and beseech the love of God, oh, my God, he will even give you a double portion.
Yes.
So I just want to say with everybody on this line, trust God in every way. And that, yes, he wants to use you, and you know who she was talking to. That's why when you experience that situation in that hospital, the enemy tried to discourage you because you've been blessing the people and you've been speaking life into their life and healing into their soul, and you've been telling them to trust God. But see, he has given you wisdom to discernment. So just walk, continue to walk into the love of God. And I thank you for everybody that tuned it in. And I pray that y'all research the love is deeper than this. It really needs to be a part two to it. But I pray that y'all will have a peaceful week, and God bless everyone into their situation and trust him. It is nothing too hard for God. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
We're gonna praise our way out. Everyone, if there's anyone on the line that want to connect and get prayer, I want to encourage you. We're on our prayer line every Tuesday morning and Friday morning at 5 a.m. Central Time. So you can call us on 218-895-0480. And the passcode is 7729. And so there's personal prayers, not on Blog Talk, but it's a personal prayer line of Kingdom Daughters, Kingdom Builders. I encourage you to tune in with us, and we'll touch and agree, and we'll pray with you, encourage you, and have a more of a personal touch. So I just wanted to give a shout-out to even those that's on the line that didn't get a chance to speak, but also we're having our prophetic conference in Detroit, Michigan, August 24th and 25th, and we will be leaving the Indiana-Chicago area on the 23rd. It's going to be an awesome prophetic apostolic intercessors training conference. We're excited about it. Those that are interested, go to the website. You can register. You can plan to go with us. We're excited about it. And also on the first Saturday, which will be August 4th, in Indiana, Gary, Indiana, we'll be doing a prayer empowerment at Living Way Christian Center, 235 West 40th Avenue at 2 o'clock p.m. And, again, we'll be interceding because we're interceding and birthing out intercessors, birthing out people that so that they can know what they need to be doing covering them and loving on them so that they can be all that God wants them to be. No strings attached. Only strings are that you're connected with love to God. So in closing, I just want to encourage you to praise your way out. We're going to just play Under My Feet. Just put the enemy under your feet. God bless you. We love you. Prophet Pam, thank you for an awesome word.
God is good.
God is so worthy. Yes, he is. Thank you, my sister. And next Saturday, same place, same time, we'll be here. Praise your way out and put the enemy under your feet.
Thank you.